Well, another Wednesday, another reading. Today we're going to pick up in Psalm 9. What was that? Round and round she goes, where she stops, nobody knows. Read and read, we'll read. Where we stop, only the Lord knows. Is that what we'll do? Cool. So we're doing our give attention to reading. Just as good to read the Bible. And it's amazing how many people haven't even read the Bible, right? And we have it. We have it abundantly. So let's dig in. And we'll go to Lord one more time in prayer. God, thank you again for your word. We pray that, Lord, you would speak to us in it and through it, that we would hear your voice, see your face, and follow your call. And whatever that is, conviction, correction, instruction, encouragement, all the above, Lord. We just want to be closer to you and made closer to you by the washing of the water of your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 9. A prayer and thanksgiving for the Lord's righteous judgments. To the chief musician, to the tune of Death of the Son, a psalm of David. Remember last week, I thought the Philistines probably had drums, but the instrument of Gath was a harp, right? That's what we discovered. But this is to the tune of the Death of the Son. That sounds pretty sad. He says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. How much of our heart should we praise God with? Whole heart, right? I will tell of all your marvelous works. Some people don't think we should talk about God. David says, I will tell of all his works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, Most High. What was that? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has. I have memories of my mom singing that to me and clapping her hands when I was little as she was opening the blinds in my room. But he says, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. David knows as a warrior, who's the one giving him victory? Who's the one making the enemy afraid? The Lord is. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Right? We look forward to the day when that's completely done. But God still does it. God still judges nations, right? He still judges wicked. That's part of why he's created government, as we saw in Romans a while back. He says, O enemy, verse 6, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished, but the Lord shall endure forever. I was watching a video the other day on all the gods of old, and how they've all gone away, but the name of God, Yahweh, remains. And he will remain. He'll always remain. He has prepared his throne for judgment. That's a scary thing to think about. God coming to judge. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. You ever been to court? When everyone's sitting in the court, the judge hasn't come in yet. He's still in his chambers. And what do? They say, all rise. And everyone rises, and the judge comes out, and you know court is in session, and trouble's about to be had for the bad people, well, at least in a good court. Think about that day that the Lord's going to step in, and the trumpet's going to sound, and the angels are going to go, all rise, and he's going to sit in his throne of judgment and prepare judgment. And how does God judge? Rightly, uprightly. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge in times of trouble. You know, the other day I was watching a video on nuclear power. And in, I want to say Finland or Norway, one of those countries, they're all the same, right? Just kidding. They are trying to figure out how to deal with nuclear waste. And we have this, I don't want to get off on it, but the media has portrayed nuclear waste as one thing. And it's really a lot safer. And we've had zero accidents, zero deaths from the storage of nuclear waste, even above ground, nuclear waste from power plants, right? But they dug this huge mine. Think about all the mines that we know are under Butte. And they dug a huge mine system under this power plant, and they're gonna store the next 75 years or so of nuclear waste from this plant under the ground. And they've designed it to last 100,000 years. I don't know, how can you know that? But sincerely, the name they gave it, I don't remember what it was in Finnish or Norway, whatever it was, but it meant refuge. It meant hiding place, right? That the name of this place was cool word. It meant hiding place. And I thought, isn't that what God wants to be for us? Doesn't the Bible say he's our hiding place, our refuge? That's what the Bible says right here, that he's our refuge. Think about that. You've got everything going on in the world, and you can just go down in this deep old mine shaft, hundreds and maybe 1,000 feet under the ground, and hide out. Whatever's happening on the surface, you'll never hear it. You'll never feel it, never be exposed to it. And that's what God is for us, right? He's our refuge, our very present help in time of trouble. Think about that God wants you to run into him, like David says, a strong tower. Run into him and be safe. But he's a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name, do we know God's name? And his son's name, Jesus? You know, Yahweh, right, is God's personal name. And Yeshua or Joshua or Yehoshua means God saves, right? Means Yahweh saves. In fact, the name Jesus, where we get in Latin, actually comes from the shortened version of Yehoshua, Yeshua, right? We did the backpacks, Yeshua backpacks. Means Yahweh saves, right? And we know his name. What do? We know that his name is salvation. God's very name is salvation, so we put our trust in him, right? His very name is salvation. It's not just what he likes to do. It's everything about him is salvation, is safety, is refuge. If you trust in him. Otherwise, what is he? Judge, right? You don't want that. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. What a comfort that is. Just seek God. You don't know where he is? Look for him. He'll be found. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. When he avenges blood, verse 12, he remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. And we see that in Revelation, the tribulation saints who are martyred for their faith. That during that time, you will be giving your life. And you know, Timmy's going to be baptized on Sunday. But in that time, I think dying is going to be your baptism for most people. But they say, how long, O Lord? He says, a little bit longer, right? But he doesn't forget them. He gives them robes. And God does not forget the cry of the humble. Sometimes you feel like no one remembers that you called them. No one remembers that you left them a voicemail. No one, you know, I remember before I got saved and calling up a pastor and leaving a voicemail upset, like, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to somebody. Never called me back, and maybe because I sounded crazy. Maybe you couldn't understand my phone number. I don't know. But God doesn't forget your cry. God doesn't forget when you call out to him. Maybe it feels like a long time, and you're like, God, I cried out to you years ago. Well, keep crying out. Verse 13, have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me. You know, God doesn't hate you. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in your salvation. Again, when we sing to God with a whole heart, we're rejoicing in his salvation. Whether we've seen it yet, whether we've experienced it, we can rejoice knowing that his name is salvation. So think about that as we worship on Friday night, as we worship on Sunday, as you worship listening on your iPod, whatever you're doing. The nations, verse 15, have sunk down in the pit which they made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. That's funny, right? The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation, Selah. The wicked is snared, but God is known for what he does, for his judgment. You know, we know that he's God because he exercises all the power of God to judge and to be merciful, to save and to cast out. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Don't forget God, nations. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. I think there might be a relationship there. That God sees when a nation, God sees when a people forget the lowest among them. God sees when the ladies in Massachusetts, the doctors in Massachusetts, sign the bill to approve abortion up to birth. You know, I saw someone take AI and take that photo of all them smiling and clapping and had AI add gory blood all over them, because that's really what it looks like in the spiritual realm. They're clapping and cheering for abortion up to birth, and they are covered in the blood of the innocent, and God will not forget that. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. You know, again, that's what the tribulation period is about God judging the nations. We go on, nations do not go on to the afterlife. Nations are judged in this world, in this time. Put them in fear, O Lord. Nations don't fear God these days, do they? That the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. You know, I was so pleased to see everyone who gave. We got people who prayed from far, gave from afar, put together the backpacks, right? The power of all of us coming together, so to speak, as the body of Christ to put together a few backpacks for a few children. You know, I think it's like two classrooms full, right? But I think a nation sometimes, the people in charge of nations think they've got so much power, and we do. You ever see our military go out and run a ship and shoot missiles and go to the moon, right? The power of all the people coming together and all their tax money, right? Going into one federal bank account, the power of what you can accomplish. But David cries out, "Arise, O Lord, put them in fear that they may know themselves to be but men." At the end of the day, a nation is just people. And before God, doesn't matter how big their bank account is, doesn't matter how many bullets they have, they're still just men, and God is greater. Selah. Psalm 10, a song of confidence in God's triumph over evil. Why do you stand afar, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Does it not feel like that sometimes? God, where are you? Bad things are happening. You know, a lot of people use that as their excuse not to believe. Well, why would a God do that? He allows these things to happen. Hang on. The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. And we see that in politics. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. You know, that's a good way to tell the difference between a righteous person and a wicked person is what's in their thoughts. What do you think about? Do you think about God? Do you not think about God? His ways are always prospering. It feels like that, right? The guy who's always lying, cheating, stealing is always getting what they want, right? And you, the righteous person, never get what you want because you're always trying to do the right thing and you get cut off, take advantage of, forgotten. But your judgments are far above, out of his sight, David says. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, "I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity." His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages and the secret places he murders the innocent. You know, I was watching a video about scams yesterday, and scams follow three things, and one of them was always keep it a secret, because the scammer knows if you go tell someone, they'll be like, "Don't do that." They'll frame it as a secret, like, "Oh, don't let anyone else know because you're going to miss out on the deal." But that's what they do. They hide in the secret hours, the dark. You know, that's why in a parking lot, you always want to park by a light if you're going to be there at nighttime. He lies in wait secretly, verse 9, as a lion in his den. I'm sorry, his eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. You know, they say, lottery. What? The lottery is a tax on the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them into his net. So he crouches. He lies low. Think of like a cat stalking, right? That the helpless may fall by his strength. You know, that's what a bully does. That's what an evil person does. They never pick on someone their own size. They always go after the easy prey. Just like a lion doesn't go after the healthy elephant, the daddy elephant. He goes after the newborn baby elephant. It's an easy target. And that's why we need to protect our children, because they're easy targets. We need to protect the helpless, those who are hurting, those without the covering of a family, the widows, the children. He has said in his heart, "God is forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see." He says, "I'm going to get away with it." God, even if he believes in God, he doesn't believe God is doing anything about it. So the psalmist cries out in verse 12, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, 'You will not require an account.'" Like, he says, "I'm going to get away with it, and God's never going to judge me for it." I like that the psalmist knows that God looks after the humble. The religions of the world says God doesn't look after the humble. God looks after the person who makes himself, right? Who does all the work, right? God looks at the people who do the work. No, God looks at the humble. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief. You know, you get depressed going on the internet, seeing all the trouble that's out there. God sees it all. God is troubled by everything that happens on earth. Make no mistake. To repay it by your hand, the helpless commits himself to you. Isn't that when we cry out to God the most, when we feel helpless? Don't we not cry out to God when we got money in the bank, when we got friends around us, when we got everything we have? We go, oh, I don't need God, I've got this. But the helpless, that's when most of us come to know God, is when we see that we're helpless. That's why God allows hard things in our life sometimes, that we might see that we're helpless. So the helpless, the helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. You know, I read an awful story about a mother who killed her three children one at a time. And I replied on the tweet. I said, death penalty. No plea bargain, no nothing. Right? You don't deserve plea bargain for that. Granted, give her time to repent that she might not face hell, but you can't let that just float around as in a civil society as okay. Break the arm of the wicked. Doesn't make you want to, you hear about kids being hurt or abused, doesn't make you just want to break their arm, oh God. If you caught them, what would you do, right? David prays that. And God knows every bone in the body. I think he can break them all. The Lord is king forever and ever. That's comforting. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and to the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. You know, we see that a lot, that having a father in your life, having family, having people around you is so important to keep yourself from being oppressed. That the enemy loves to go after children, loves to break up marriages, loves to separate children from parents, loves to keep fathers out of the influence of their children, because a father is, a loving father at least, even a father who's a mediocre father, is going to protect his children from danger. He's going to watch over them. Psalm 11, and that's why God does that. God cares about the fatherless. We see that all throughout Scripture, and we as believers should care about the fatherless as well. Psalm 11, faith in the Lord's righteousness. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to your soul, say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? You know, fly away, soul. For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, that's a famous verse that's called out. Our society, well, you can't really call a nation Christian because a nation can't have saving faith. But our nation was built on Christian principles and founded by many Christians. And many Christians have been involved in it through the beginning. But if you destroy those foundations, what can the righteous do? You know, if you destroy the foundation of your house, it doesn't matter how many coats of paint you put on it. It doesn't matter how many times you try and fix it. If the foundation is bad, it's just going to keep breaking. It's just going to keep falling apart. You know, a car, the thing you want to look at the most, you can replace everything on it. But if the frame is rotted out, if it's rotted out underneath, don't buy it, because you have to replace the whole car at that point. And so if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You've got nothing to work with, nothing to build upon, nothing to rebuild upon. Don't let the foundation of your life be anything but Jesus, right? The wise man built his house upon a rock. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and when the storm came, his house was washed away, right? Foundation of what you build your life upon is the most important thing. Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, right? High above everything else. It's not here on earth. It's in heaven. We can't touch it. We can't tear it down. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the son of men. That God sees everything, guys. We hate all those flock cameras out there, right? And good, tear them all down. We don't want to live in a surveillance state. But God sees everything more than the cameras. He sees our hearts. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Whoa. Why is Selah not there? Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind. Do you ever see a nuclear bomb go off? Sounds a lot like that. Except God's nuclear bomb is a lot more powerful. And it shall be the portion of their cup. You know that the time for the wicked to be destroyed is coming. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. You know that God's always looking at you? He's going, oh, look, my one who loves me, my child, my one who looks to me, who calls out to me. He's smiling at you. He's not so happy when you're sinning, but he's still looking at you. He's still loving on you. Chapter 13. Let me get a swig of coffee and see what we can get through in 10 more minutes. There was this guy who looked like my friend's dad in high school, but he did the Micro Machines commercials, and he was a world record holder for speaking fast. I bet you he could get to Psalm 119 in 10 minutes. I don't think we're going to get that far fast tonight. Trust in the salvation of the Lord, the chief musician of Psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?
Wait a minute, you forgot 12.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. Psalm 12. See, I'm running out of things. I'm just testing you, Grandma. thanks for catching that. Psalm 12. Man's treachery and God's constancy. The chief musician on an 8-stringed harp. Again, very specific instrument for this tune, a Psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. Do you feel that way? That there's not a lot of godly people anymore? For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. What are we just talking about Sunday? Idle talk, right? With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. That's the worst when someone's double-tongued. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? You know, James says that the tongue is an unruly evil set on fire by hell itself. Verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. You know, the Lord, more than the Democrats, God actually cares for the poor. He actually cares for the needy. Now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. If God's going to put you in a safe place, what can stop it? That should comfort you. Verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You know, 7 speaks of perfection, right? You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. You know that? When the government, when the society raises up wickedness, raises up vileness, disgusting things, wicked people are everywhere. They're everywhere, right? You know, I remember you wouldn't go to Times Square in New York City in the 80s because wickedness, vileness was everywhere. Then Disney came in, or somebody came in and bought it out, and it turned into a tourist destination because they took down all the wickedness. So families would begin to go there and criminals began to leave, although you'd still watch out for pickpockets and scams. But that's what happens to society. When society, in our movies, in our entertainment, in our internet, in our schools, when we hold up vileness, is it any wonder why there's so many wicked people around, so much abuse going on? It's because we're holding up vileness. What do you expect? It's like when you turn on a light at night and all the moths fly to it. It's the same thing. Now chapter 13. Trust in the salvation of the Lord, the chief musician of the Psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? You ever feel that way? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? You know, it's not a sin to be sad as a Christian. It's not a sin to be down and out as a Christian. It's a sin to stay in it and not give it to God. But know that every healthy person is going to experience happiness, experience sadness. It's going to experience depression. It's going to experience seasons of joy. That's part of life. That's part of living in a sinful, fallen world with a sinful, fallen nature, right? But when you are sad, what do? You turn to the bottle? Do you turn on the TV and tune out? Do you not pray? Well, pray. Let it turn you to the Lord. I tell you what, there's no joy and comfort like being sad and going, God, I'm so sad. God, my heart hurts. No, it doesn't mean that your sadness goes away, but there's a joy that replaces it going, oh, I know God heard me. I know God's with me. Even if I don't have the answer yet, even if he hasn't spoken to me and shown up, I know that he heard me. Turn to him. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David felt like he was going to die. His sorrowness was going to kill him. Maybe his enemies were going to kill him, but he felt like he was dying. He felt like he wanted to die, or he might even die. Have you had a broken heart so broken? Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. I love that. David's like, don't even do it for me. Just do it for your own glory so that the enemy can't have me as a talking point against you to defame your name, to defame me. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully for me. Do you see the change in David's heart from the beginning of prayer to end of prayer? He goes, you know what? I'm going to sing to God now. I told him exactly how I feel, exactly what's bothering me, and I just want to sing to him. That'll happen. You might sing with tears, but you're going to want to sing. Psalm 14, folly of the godless and God's final triumph. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. This is a famous verse. The fool has said in his heart. You ever say something in your heart? You just say it. That's where you believe things, is in your heart. It says, the fool says there is no God. It's a good verse for an atheist. The Bible says you're foolish. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. You know, when God doesn't sit on the throne of your heart, the only thing you're going to do is corrupt things, because now you have no accountability. There's no God. I can do whatever I want. I'm the boss of my own life. I make up my own right and wrong. And you can't tell me any different. So you're going to do wicked things because God is not on the throne. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. You picture God in heaven looking down on earth, looking at that person going to work, that person shopping, that person on the internet, that person with their friend. He's going, is anyone seeking me? And then he looks and he sees you praying, reading your Bible, going to church, looking for a video to watch about God. He says, they have all turned aside. They have all together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. I'm feeling that's what God was feeling when he was looking on the earth in Noah's day. And then what? He saw Noah, right? And truthfully, that's all of us too, right? We only sought God when we really needed him most. When selfishly we were at the end of our rope and we needed a savior. And yet God is gracious to us. But even then we know that apart from God, we don't do anything good on our own. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? Right? Isn't it funny how the world's fine with everybody else except Christians, right? Do they not call on the Lord? There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. Oh, would this generation, would my kids' generation be a generation of the righteous? You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Make fun of what the poor does, what the poor turns to. Oh, Christians, you guys are just lame and you're all poor and you don't have anything good. The rich person might say, the wicked person might say, but the righteous person, the poor person, has God as their refuge. Verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Israel be glad, right? Let's do one more because we're here and I think we can do it in a minute. The character of those who may dwell with the Lord, a psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. See the difference? Where do you want truth? The Bible says we need to hide his word in our heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Do you honor those who fear the Lord? When you come to church, when you're around other Christians, when you meet those who are serving God, do you have an honor for them, a respect for them? You know, like we met folks at Childbridge today. There's an honor. I'm like, they're doing the work of the Lord. I know my friends as missionaries, or I met pastors at conferences, and there's an honor there, a reverence there that they're doing the work of the Lord. Or I meet just a believer in the store. There's an, you know, the kid's karate instructor, Siwak Eva. I see her in her Winco clothes, working at Winco. There's an honor there. I know she loves the Lord. She's a believer. She's a respectable person. There's an honor there. Do you honor others? You know, I think that's, sometimes you can tell where someone's heart is with the Lord by how they treat other Christians, what they think of, you know, those in ministry. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. You know, that's an important thing about being someone. When you say you're going to do it, do it. Even if it means you're like, oh, that was a mistake. I'm going to miss out now. But I said I was going to do it. I need to do it. You know, you don't want to be unfaithful. He who does not put out his money at usury, that's interest rates. You rich, you loan it. You know, a poor person, your friend says, hey, can I borrow $50? You're like, sure, but you got to pay me $60 back. No, you care about them. You're like, at the end of the day, sometimes you might not even care if you get it back. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. You know, not being fickle like the world, not being a fair weather friend, being a faithful person in ministry, in life, in family, in your friendships. With the Lord, that's important. You want to have a firm foundation? Have it in the Lord. And when you have that firm foundation, you're not going to be moved. You're not going to do those things. People are not going to look at you and say, I can't trust him because he says that, but then as soon as things get tough, he bails. Or as soon as things change, he goes a different way. Or don't be like that. Let the Lord be your refuge. You know, God will repay you. You do the right thing, God's going to give you more than you would have gotten by changing your mind and getting out of the deal. Now, granted, there are times when you've done the wrong thing and you need to go back and undo it. But sincerely, to do the right thing, you're not missing out. If you lose doing the right thing, you didn't lose anything. You gained everything. Oh, you lost $50. Big deal. You maintained your character. You maintained your integrity. You maintained your witness, right? That's more important. But God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace that you are looking down upon us. God, would you let us all see your smile for us this week, that God, whether we're in a happy state or a sad state, may we cry out to you and worship you with a whole heart. God, deep down in the things that we've sinned against you, God, would you wash us clean? Would you change us? Would you help us to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you? And Lord, thank you that you're faithful and just to forgive us. God, even when we don't deserve it, you cleanse us, God. Thank you for your word. We pray that it would not return void, bear much fruit in our lives and those around us. And God, that you would come back soon and bear judgment on the nations, on the wicked, on those who would oppress the needy and the poor and the fatherless. God, minister to them tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind, and all we drink first light until